Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 30387, Phoenix, Arizona, USA. I pray that the Lord will open your understanding to this message that I'm bringing at this very hour. Today I want to talk about the coming of the Lord. I know that most of the listeners to this radio broadcast are Christians, and I want to begin to teach some give some exhortation that will prepare us for the Lord's coming. I'm going to read from the first Thessalonians and talk about the coming of the Lord, especially what we in the Christian church has called the rapture. The word rapture actually means being wrapped up and taken away, and we describe the episode that was written by Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as the rapture. Now in verse 13 is where I'm going to begin to talk about, and I'm going to present it after I talk about the rapture. Then we're going to talk about how to prepare for the rapture, who and who will go in the rapture. Now let's talk about it here from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning from verse 13. He said, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Praise the Lord. Now we can describe this. Look, first of all, the reason why Apostle Paul was presenting this revelation to the church in the first church age was because after believers have waited for the Lord's coming, when God gave the apostles a shout to go forth and evangelize the world, he told them, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." When you see in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, and the Lord gave them the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Now, without urgency, the apostles started moving, and God sent Apostle Paul to preach all over the world, to the Gentile world. And part of the message he was preaching to them after preaching the Lord Jesus Christ was to talk about the hope that Christ is coming again. And that was the desire of every believer, expecting this Lord Jesus Christ who died for us is coming again to take over the earth and to take us away unto the glory land. Now, after believers have waited for long years, one by one, believers that are older or for some reason were passing away and dying. One by one, as people died, they were wondering, the believers in that generation began to wonder what is the hope they had concerning the believers that have died. And that was one of the reasons why Apostle Paul was writing this exhortation, to make them to see that even though these believers are passing on, either by old age or whatever happened, and they have died in Christ, they are not lost. If people are expecting Christ to come back and take us over and take over the earth, and they have waited, and then suddenly one by one people are dying and passing away, you wonder whether their hope of still waiting for the Lord is what. So Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to encourage them and to exhort them what actually is happening, that the believers that have died in Christ will be resurrected one day. I say one day, but in those days they were expecting the Lord to come, that they will be resurrected when the Lord Jesus comes. Now when Christ shall appear, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain. Why did he continually say remain? Now I'm going to first explain this to you. Number one, people will have to be to remain in Christ Jesus because there will be a lot of persecution. And not only persecution, that many of them were being killed in those days. Bible, it was making them to know that even though people are being killed, people are being beheaded for Christ's sake, all those who remain till Christ come will see Christ coming in the air. And we know that that will occur one day. That is, it's not all of us that will sleep. And we shall see again in the book of 1 Corinthians, when Apostle Paul wrote the same thing in a similar fashion to the Corinthian church. That it's not all of the Christians that will be killed or beheaded or even die of old age before Christ come. That was what he was telling them in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I will read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 47 and 48. Let me read verse 14. 51 is the only verse that really pertains to what I wanted to say. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," that is, we shall not all die, we Christians, "we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now he was trying to describe what was this change he was talking about. He said, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." In short, he was saying, we believers that are waiting till the end of time when Christ shall come and the last trumpet shall sound, we that are Christians that are still alive will be changed from this physical corruptible body into an incorruptible body. We're not going to die, we're going to just change, transfiguration. Like Christ manifested when he was on the mountain with the apostles, and they said his body glowed. And to them it looked like something covered him, but it was his body that actually glowed like light. So we shall be changed in the moment. The dead in Christ will be risen first, but we also that are alive, that have not thrown away this body, will be changed into a glowing body, a glorified body. Now, that is the same thing that he was explaining here, that the dead in Christ are not lost, they are going to be resurrected. You wonder, what type of body will they bring when they resurrect? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is what Apostle Paul was talking about when he talks about corruptible body and incorruptible body. Let's see. Let's read from verse 36. Let me read verse 35 first. Say, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" And Apostle Paul replies, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him. And to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differed from another star in glory. So also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, but it is raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." And he said, well, he went for the second. "So it is written, the first Adam, the first man Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Now, what was he talking about here? Apostle Paul is making us to see the fact that the body that God will give to the Christ, the Christians that are going to be resurrected, will be a new body. And it's going to be like a spiritual body that cannot be corrupted anymore. That is, they can never die anymore. So if they that are dead in Christ will be resurrected in a new body and they shall never die anymore, similarly, we that are Christians that will be alive when Christ shall come, we that remain are going to be transformed. Our body will be changed to the same spiritual body that the people that those who are dead will be given, and we shall never die anymore also. And that is the Bible. That is, we shall be changed into incorruptible. Now, what do you mean by incorruptible? We shall still be able to, let me give you an example. Because the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection is a sample for us. He came to testify to the fact that there shall be a resurrection one day of all the dead. And to prove it, he rose up by himself and took his body out of the grave and went away to heaven. Now, when Jesus Christ resurrected, what kind of body did he have? Let's look at some of the things that happened around the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first key thing that you will notice is that he was using supernatural power when he rose. The power that he didn't use while he was alive. Like passing through the doors without opening the door. Entering into the house without opening the door. It's like just appearing inside him in the midst of the apostles. And that is a supernatural power. And the scientists will tell you this, that our body is a particle, and for you to enter a room that is locked and no windows, no doors, you have to change this particle body into something that you call a magnetic wave or electromagnetic wave, and then you can change it back to, and that will, an electromagnetic wave will pass through a wall, like the radio wave that is bringing this radio to your room where you are, and it's not opening the door. It's just coming through the walls or through the windows without you opening the windows. And that is radio waves. But if this wave can turn back to physical body and back into wave, then you will be able to propagate yourself wherever you want to go. Now, the power of God can do that. And that is what Jesus Christ began to manifest. He appeared in the midst of them, and you say, well, he will be like a ghost, won't he? No. He even asked the apostles, he said, touch me and see that a spirit has no flesh and bone as you see me have. And that was the power of the resurrection. Unlike a spirit, he told them that it was not just a spirit, it was the same Jesus who resurrected, whom they have been used to, whom they have touched and handled. He was the same Jesus that rose again and took the same body, the same physical particulate body out of the grave. Because some people have a notion that the dead will be floating like bubbles of air that you cannot touch. No, that was not the resurrection. That will just be ghosts. But what Jesus Christ presented to us as resurrection was that this same flesh and bone that was put in the grave after he died on the cross, that same flesh and bone was what he took out of the grave and was able to transform that into light waves to enter a room and come back to particle wave, particle body again, when he was in the midst of the apostles. And you say, well, will that be able to eat something? Yes, even Jesus Christ told them that, bring something, you have any meat? And he gave him a meat, and he ate. That should tell you that the body we are going to get from the Lord at the end of the world, after we have been resurrected, or after we have been changed, that body will be able to eat anytime we want to. We may not need food to sustain the body, we don't need the food to sustain the body. However, we shall be able to eat, because Jesus Christ was able to eat, and he took bread from them and he ate. So that is one of the examples that the resurrection is going to be into physical, that is a glorified body. Praise the Lord. Like I said, when Jesus Christ resurrected, he was able to eat. Just look at it in the Gospel of John chapter 21. Here Jesus Christ manifested to the apostles while they were by the lake. In chapter 21 verse 5, he asked them, children, have ye any meat? And when they have nothing, they said they have not caught anything. He told them to cast the net on the right side, and they caught. And when they came by and found it was, and they met Jesus Christ at that lake, Christ was eating, and he said, come and dine. So which means the body was wearing, he was able to eat with it. And the same way, when we shall be transformed, we shall be able to eat and drink. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, because we shall be like him when he shall appear. Praise the Lord. Now, as I was saying, I say resurrection that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated to us is an example that we also shall have that there will be resurrection one day, and that body will be a glorified body that can do wonders like Christ was able to enter the room and without opening the door and also disappear from their midst. And that is the translative power that we are believing God that he will begin to even use it before we leave this planet, before we get out of here, before the rapture takes place. God will allow some believers to begin to have experience of this type of translative power. And that is what he has called us unto at this end time, to come and grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. The fullness of the stature of Christ, as you have seen in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, that we are all to go from glory to glory unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. Now let me continue this story, this exhortation about the rapture. Like we said, I said the Lord is coming soon, and people say, when do you think he is coming? How soon do you think he's coming? I want you to know this. The Lord gave the apostles urgency. The urgency he gave to them to preach the word of God made them feel they were going to be, that the Lord was going to come back in their lifetime. So they went with that urgency to preach the word as far as they could go. And after a while, God started showing to individual of the apostles that they will have to go and be, they will have to pass on. Like Apostle Peter began to write in his letter and said, the Lord has showed to him that he was going to put away his tabernacle of flesh. Apostle Paul also knew, after a while, he knew that after he has written the books of Thessalonians and the Corinthians, when he was saying, we that are alive, putting himself as one of them. But after so many times, after the persecution and so on, he realized the Lord showed to him he was going to pass on before the Lord comes. And then he started writing an exhortation to Timothy where he said, I am ready to be offered, that the time of his departure was near. You see, because they knew that the Lord was telling them that their time is up. And God has always done the same thing. When he sent somebody out, he gave them urgency to do the work. Why the urgency that if God is not coming in 2,000 years? Because you and I that are preaching the word of God, we have a limited time to do the job, to do our own part of it. God knew that you have only some limited time to do your own part of witnessing for Christ, to reach some people that God is wanting you to reach, to come across some people that God is wanting you to come across them and influence them for Christ. And then after a while, if the time the Lord is coming is not yet, then you individual person may pass on to glory. But the timetable of God is fixed. But he didn't give it to them and say it will be 2,000 years before everything will take place. He just told them that you go and do the work I want you to do. So the same way, you may have heard people preach that he's coming so soon in the 70s. He's coming so soon in the 80s. He's coming so soon in the 90s. They are not wrong. Only they were giving according to the urgency God gave to them. And they were giving the same message. But that does not mean that the Lord is not coming. Now that doesn't mean that they were wrong for giving the urgency. It is the urgency that you hear from our mouth. It will make you also prepare. You need that preparatory urgency. You have to prepare in urgency also. If you don't prepare in urgency, you will not grow to the height that you are to grow to. And if you don't grow to that height, you most likely will not be, even if you pass on without growing to that height, without giving your life to Christ, you are going to hell. And if you are growing and you are growing, it is the height you grow onto before you leave this planet will determine the height you will be for eternity. You see what I mean? And like Bible said, every believer will be like a star. Every star will have different glory. So what type of glory do you want to be? Do you want to have? Like you look among the angels of God right now in heaven, there are different categories of angels. And those categories of angels, each one have different glory. The same way as we are all going to be glorified, every believer, we have different glory. We'll be shining differently. We're not going to be shining the same way. And how you grow spiritually, how you grow in Christ right now will determine how you are going to be, how you are going to be in your glory when Christ shall arrive and take you away. So that's why you want to grow spiritually right now, so that when you get over on the other side, there is no more growing for you to do, because you have come to the fullness of your glory, of your growing. And so that is how you are going to be for a long time, for eternity. So Christ wants you to grow right now. You have a limited time of growing spiritually in Christ Jesus. So you better begin to get the exhortation and begin to work on it so that you can grow spiritually before you leave this planet. Because if you look around, when God will make you to see angels, you will see that there are different categories of angels. There will be angels that look like little children. There will be angels that look like grown-up. There will be angels that look like adults. There will be angels that look like teenagers. Different, and they don't just change their stature. That is how they were and they will be for eternity. and those are angels. And believers also are going to be categorized into that form, depending on how you are growing spiritually. Some believers will be seen, even though they look like old men right now, when they shall be there, they will be almost like little kids. Why? Because they never grow spiritually. Because your spirit didn't grow. That's why you want to grow now, following the word of God, increasing in faith and in revelation of the word of God. And you have a limited time in doing that. And that's why when God gives the urgency to preachers to preach His coming soon, that message is to make believers grow, to make them seek after God. If you seek Him, you will find Him. And as you find Him and you walk with the Lord, you will grow in grace and you will grow in the faith and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a key thing I want you to take into your heart. And so that should make you to prepare hard and prepare quickly and prepare in urgency for the Lord's coming. What do you mean by prepare? What do I have to do? You need to grow spiritually. How do I grow spiritually? You need to feed to grow. Because how do human beings grow on earth? They have got to eat. If you are going to grow strong and big and healthy, you've got to eat good food. The same way, you've got to eat the bread of life, which is the word of God. And you've got to study to show yourself approved unto God. And you've got to follow the exhortations. So that it's not just reading book. It is studying to show yourself approved unto God, and also following the exhortation of what you learn in the Bible and making use of it. And that is exactly how you're going to grow. Your spirit is going to grow spiritually. And I want you to begin to take it seriously that the Lord is sending the urgency of the message of His coming, majorly not just because He is coming soon, but because He wants you and I to prepare for His coming, to grow spiritually, to get to the height that we'll be able to receive Him into us, into our life, and we'll be able to help other people to receive Him, and to get to the height that we shall be somebody when we get out of here, when we get to heaven. You want to be somebody, you want to be a special somebody, not just one of the believers, not just one of the saints that finally made it, but to be a recognized somebody. This is in this world you will attain to the high that will make you to be somebody. You just think of the heroes of the Bible. Just think about the Bible that you have read, and there are heroes of the Bible. Those heroes of we that we know that are in the Bible that we have in our hands, they will still be heroes when we shall see them in heaven. I mean, they retain that prestigious position with God. Just think about it. God still talk about Abraham up till now. Even Abraham that had been dead thousands of years ago, God still talk about Abraham when He was talking to the Hebrews. So the same way, you want to grow, you want to grow to the height that you will be a somebody in the kingdom of God. That is what the Lord is saying. And you can see the reason why He said, some that are first shall be last in His kingdom, and some that are last shall be first. And He wants you to understand what you are doing so that you can grow spiritually. Now, that is the first aspect about the Lord's coming soon. Next, we are going to talk about how are we to prepare for the Lord's coming. There is what we call faith. There is faith for salvation that makes you to surrender your life to Christ. There is faith for healing that you need to be able to get your answer to your prayer when you think you are sick to be well. To be able to resist the devil that causes sicknesses. To be able to drive out demons and sicknesses by yourself, by your authority, as you grow. Faith for healing. And then there is what we call translative faith. Faith that we begin to believe in translative power. Faith that will build you up spiritually and make you a spiritual giant for God. And that also is a faith that God can impart to your life by teaching you some wisdom, by teaching you some spiritual growth, and by you doing the exertion that will make you grow spiritually. And this faith will be coming at this end of time as God begins to teach us more on how to walk with God and to please God. Let's give an example. The Bible said Enoch, one of the descendants of Adam, he walked with God and disappeared, and God took him that he should not see it. So this means there was a walking with God that was specifically mentioned. What does it mean to walk with God? It means he had some things he do that he and God alone walking, doing those steps together, that make God to say, this one pleased him. And God said, this one will not die. And anyone that is going to walk with God must agree with God, like the Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed. So in the next series of broadcasts, we are going to talk about how to walk with God. And when you begin to walk with God, God will begin to walk with you. And God, like Christ said, if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and eat with me. So if he's going to sup with you and you are going to sup with him, that is the beginning of walking with somebody. And Christ wants to walk with you in that nature. And that's what I mean. He wants to walk with you. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him." Supping with him, he's going to eat dinner with you, and he with me. So you have to walk with him so that he can eat with you, you can eat with him. And those who are walking with him like this, right here and now, they are going to walk with him for eternity in his kingdom. And that is the invitation I'm throwing out to you, my friend. Christ is calling you unto himself. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You want to walk with the Master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe. He's inviting you to come and be his friend. If you that is listening to me, you are not even a Christian. You don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm saying Christ is the only way to salvation, the only way to heaven, the only way to please God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is throwing his arm open unto you to come unto him so that you might be saved. And so that you might know the only living God and Jesus Christ. And when you know him, your life will be different. And he will begin to guide your life. And when he begins to guide your life, that's when you only have any hope of going with God and being saved from the wrath of God to come. And the Lord is saying the door is open. Would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I'm going to pray for you right now. And you that is also listening, if you are not even a Christian, if you are not a Christian and you would like me to pray along with you, I want you to bow your head and I'm praying for you right now. Father, I pray for all these people that are listening that they will believe and that they will repent and that they will call, accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior so that they might be saved. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, touch them, Lord Jesus Christ, with the blood of Jesus Christ, and let them be saved. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is it, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ has touched you. I also pray for all the people that are listeners, that are believers, that maybe they are not growing spiritually. Oh Lord, touch them right now. As you also that listen to me, begin to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to make you, to rejuvenate you, to make you a new creature, to make you anew, to revive you. Father, I pray, Lord, you revive all the believers that are listening right now. That they will repent, they will want to move closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the woman will begin to look up because the Lord is coming soon. Help them, Lord Jesus Christ, to have their hope set on things above and not on things of the earth. And to begin to follow the exhortation of worshiping thee and praising thee and walking with thee the right way in the name of Jesus Christ. That is it, friend. I want you to write to me, write to the Gospel Distribution Ministry. You can get our literature on the internet. Our internet web page is www.gospeldistribution.org. Gospel Distribution, that's one word. Gospeldistribution.org. You can send us email on the internet also. Send email to webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. That is webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. And I shall send you some literature that will be edifying to you. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Now he's telling you that you can be saved if you are not saved, and you can have that hope of rapture if you are not a Christian yet. As you are a Christian, begin to prepare and begin to listen to this exhortation so that you can learn more on how to prepare, what we need to do to prepare, how to walk with God as we continue this broadcast in the next series. God bless you.